Again, Merry Christmas, everyone. We're so glad that you're here. One of my favorite things about Advent and leading into Christmas is receiving Christmas cards. And my favorites are definitely those family photo cards. I really love those family photo cards. I actually have a lot of them cut up and they're on my fridge right now. And of course, we see those family photo cards and we see families put together really well. The perfect hair, the perfect poses, perfect smiles, and oftentimes even in the perfect, most beautiful location. Then there's still, of course, those people who might write those Christmas letters. We don't see maybe as many of those now, but it's always beautiful to get caught up and to learn more about what's going on in the lives of friends and family and those around us, to hear about the highlights in their lives. I'm hearing about Uncle Bob getting a promotion at work and winning the golf tournament, and Aunt Sally, while helping take care of the grandkids, still getting Volunteer of the Year award and working outside the home. Then we hear about the kids, and we hear about Junior making the honor roll, but also being a star on the baseball team. And on and on and on. We hear all these beautiful things, and that's wonderful, and it's a great blessing. But, of course, we know these family photo cards and these family Christmas letters, they're not always the whole story. Everything is not always picture perfect. And of course, that first Christmas can seem itself to be picture perfect, especially from all the Christian art and imagery that we see of the Nativity. We see Jesus, Mary, and Joseph so serene and peaceful, everything looking just perfect. We see tidy shepherds, great-looking shepherds, and then also we see those perfectly docile animals surrounding them. And then if you could imagine if the Holy Family had their own Christmas card, just what that would sound like. And I think I might actually have a copy of it in my pocket right now, so I want to share a little bit of that with you. Dear friends and family, Merry Christmas. Actually, first Merry Christmas. This is Joseph writing because Mary's a little bit busy right now. We've been blessed with the most amazing year. Angels visited both me and Mary to let us know that she would conceive and give birth to the Son of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. While back home in Nazareth for the census, Mary gave birth to Jesus, and he's just absolutely perfect. Besides, I humbly must say, he's God's Son and the Savior of the world, after all. We're so happy. What did I ever do to deserve to take care of God's own Son and have a perfect and sinless wife in Mary? Yet, of course, that we know that the first Christmas wasn't exactly picture perfect. Yes, God came among us, became one of us in the person of Jesus, but it wasn't exactly how we always see it pictured. Of course, he came in a humble manger, a smelly manger. He was surrounded by smelly animals, of course. And Mary and Joseph probably were most likely exhausted because of all their travels, all they had gone through, and due to the less than perfect birthing conditions in the manger and in the stable. And then also, they were surrounded by those people who were quite despised at the time, lowly and poor, those shepherds. So things weren't all exactly as picture perfect as we would think they were. But that's how God exactly planned it. He came right into the mess, right in the midst of the messiness of it all, into the brokenness, the pain, the sorrow of a fallen world. He came, of course, in such a vulnerable way, coming to us in a baby. He came in not maybe the Christmas card picture-perfect way, but he came in the perfect way that God had planned. He came, of course, among us, humbling himself so greatly, and he began the greatest love story that the world has ever known. And we, too, are called, of course, to enter into this love story, to realize the amazing love that our Savior has for us. And coming among us, he came right in the midst of everything. Being God, of course, he could have saved us from far away, He could have not gotten so dirty and messy, but he had to enter into our human experience, taking on our human nature to experience everything that we do. Our joys, our sorrows, our sufferings, and our pain, everything in between. But he came to redeem and save us in the midst of it all. Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, came in the midst of all of those things. He came to heal us, to strengthen us, to remind us of his love, to walk with us, to guide us all the way to the Father's house. Yes, and just as that first night, there was no room for him at the inn, and he came in such a vulnerable way, we're invited to bring our vulnerabilities, our very selves, our authentic selves, before him. No matter what's in our hearts, what's going on in our lives, what brokenness we experience, he invites us to lay it all before him. He invites us to let him enter into all of those things, the good and the bad. He invites us, yes, to make room in our hearts and our lives. Because, yes, he's given himself to us completely. He's given everything for us to come and make all things new again, to redeem and to save us. But we know so well, of course, that the love story that began with the manger doesn't end with the manger. It goes from the crib all the way to the cross. And as Christians, as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, we know that we too must carry our own crosses. But when we do so, we never go alone. Because we know it's through that cross, which is our sign of victory, where Jesus gave everything for us so that we could live with him forever. In the midst of our crosses, as we carry them, we're never alone, because our brothers and sisters carry them along with us as well. And Jesus is there to strengthen us and to help us to lift up those crosses. And through the midst of it all, yes, the Lord gives us everything. He gives us that great gift, and he invites us to make a response to his love story. He offers and gives us everything that we need to receive all that we need to be healed and strengthened, redeemed and saved. And yes, it's up to us to make a response, to move our hearts and open our hearts, to not be afraid to come before him, to not be afraid to lay our lives before him, to not be afraid to give everything and surrender to the one who has given us everything through coming among us through the incarnation, then going all the way to the cross to die for us. And here, as we gather as brothers and sisters, as we gather as a broken people, as we gather as an imperfect people, living in an imperfect world and not so picture-perfect lives, he comes to us here once again in the great sacrifice of his love through the cross. And that love is made present to us in such a special way, really and truly present. That one sacrifice of the cross, the greatest example, the greatest gift of his love, is made flesh for us here in the Eucharist. Broken bread for a broken people. And he invites us to offer all that we have and are to come before him, but to receive his love, to receive his very body and blood, so that we can return our lives back to him and help to make our lives more picture perfect.